Hey, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studios here, our 18th floor at 303 Wacker, here till 5 a.m. We are going to be talking about the best stand-up specials, the best stand-up specials and the best stand-up movies. Zanies, as we were just talking with our buddy Bert Haas, celebrating 40 years in Chicago and the premier comedy club in this city, and gets some of the greatest guests. And I just realized, Dan, that on Labor Day weekend, Melissa Villaseñor is going to be in town, and she's going to be playing Zanies. She'll do two nights in Rosemont and one night in Chicago, and that's going to be on Labor Day weekend. So I will be visiting Zanies for sure when Melissa Villaseñor is in town, because she's awesome and funny. So we're talking about so tell me about some of your favorite stand up performances and stand up and your stand up specials. So what do you think? 312-981-7200 is the phone number, and let's talk about some of your favorite comedians and stand up specials and performances. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. I would have to say, I mean, for me, right off the bat, I think the funniest and most brilliant example of a stand-up performance is Richard Pryor Live in Concert, which was a film that was originally supposed to be shot for HBO, but got a theatrical release. This was Richard Pryor at the height of his power and the top of his genius. And it's the movie is called Richard Pryor Live in Concert. It's the first theatrical concert film that was released. He did three of them. He did Live in the Sunset Strip and then Richard Pryor Here and Now. Those were the three theatrically released movies that he made that were released in theaters. And I don't think there's a better example of stand-up ever recorded than Richard Pryor Live in Concert. It's just unbelievable. And the accompanying album, the live album that was out, was a double album called Richard Pryor Wanted, and that was from the same tour that he did. It was in 1978, and it's just everything about it is stunning, and not only really really funny, like brilliantly, side-splittingly crying with laughter funny, but also incredibly personal, and everything that, you know, the kind of subjects that Richard Pryor wanted to talk about and did so brilliantly, everything came together during that performance. And I have, you know, some suggestions here and lists here from Divine Comedy. And this one is number one. This list says Richard Pryor Live in Concert from 1979. Chris Rock wrote on his website of this landmark movie, "This is what every comic is striving for, and we all fall very short. It's the perfect concert." When comedian Patton Oswalt saw it, he claimed, "It woke up more blank in my head than most movies I'd ever seen. The idea that you could see a film that was just someone talking was new, ecstatic, wild, profane, and full of life. An hour and a half of Live in Concert is an eruption of astute observation, biting social critique, explosive physical bits, and Pryor personifying everything from car tires to his heart attack. The comic dominates the stage and his audience throughout, whether confessing his drug habits and marital issues, drawing out long, gentle moments like the one that he showcases his impression of a suddenly frightened deer, or hammering home one-liners. As the first full-length stand-up concert film, it's a milestone and a document of Pryor firing on all cylinders. It's both peerless and invaluable." And I couldn't agree with that more. It's an astonishing piece of work. And I think, like I said, the best example of stand-up ever committed to film or videotape or whatever. And again, the album, which was recorded on a different night. It was the same tour and, you know, much of the same material, but it was recorded on a different night, so it was a different audience. That's also amazing. All right, what do you guys think? 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you would like to join us to talk about your favorite stand-up specials of all time, or your favorite stand-up concerts, or your favorite stand-up movies. Dan, do you have any favorites?
I know this will not be a popular opinion, but I enjoy John Mulaney. And
well, it's a popular opinion among everybody but
else.
Me.
And I have a theory. I have a theory because I started thinking about it. But his most recent special called Kid Gorgeous, he did in Chicago for 5 straight nights, and then he filmed it at Radio City Music Hall, mm-hmm. And it's on Netflix now. And I've always enjoyed his stuff. I first got introduced to his stuff when we took our road trip to Buffalo. And I don't know if it was just the looniness of not having slept and et cetera, but the story about him meeting Bill Clinton in Chicago and Bill Clinton remembering his mom from college was one of the funniest things I had ever heard. And so that kind of got us on the path. And then Kid Gorgeous is pretty funny and has a lot of, you know, obviously there's the Chicago ties where, you know, like, well, I ate at the Salt and Pepper Diner too, you know, mm-hmm. So there's kind of those ties, but you know, it's one of those things where there's a lot of identifiable things for me in those specials. And
yeah.
So we really enjoyed it.
Yeah. I like him when he's not talking and just writing. There's just something about his persona and his delivery that makes me nuts, but I fully acknowledge that the guy is an incredibly talented comedic writer.
Right.
I mean, you know, Stefan is him.
Yep.
Like he wrote Stefan, and he's the one who makes Hader laugh every time because John Mulaney throws in jokes that were not in rehearsal.
Right.
And that's why Hader loses it every time he does Stefan. He also has written some incredibly good sketches for SNL. The guy just kind of, like, his persona rubs me the wrong way, but I fully acknowledge that the guy is a major comedic talent.
Yeah, I have a theory that I'll get to in a second, but in this Kid Gorgeous special, he tells a very funny story about writing a parody song with Mick Jagger when he was with Saturday Night Live, and it is hilarious because, you know, you could imagine what it's like trying to write a song with Mick Jagger
yeah.
in an office on a Wednesday afternoon, you know,
yeah.
and it's after Mick Jagger.
If you've been up for 48 hours.
Right,
writing.
Right. Exactly. But my theory was that he is kind of a little bit like Ferris Bueller. He is a rich, white, suburban kid who has done very well for himself,
yeah, okay.
despite what many people don't think is a lot of talent.
Okay.
And much like you despise Ferris Bueller, I don't mind Ferris Bueller. I can understand where you're coming from, but I
right.
also kind of get
no,
a kick out
okay,
of it.
Okay, no, that, so. That's I've never really thought about it.
Yeah, but that's what struck me. I'm like, well, why wouldn't Nick like this? And then I'm like, because I'm like, he's a Saturday Night Live guy and this and that. And I'm like, oh, he's Ferris Bueller. That's why.
That, yeah, and but he also, like, that when he hosted this year on SNL, he didn't bother me nearly as much as just like his straight up, you know, like his stand up. I mean, there were things that he did that I thought were very funny, and he wrote that Lobster Diner sketch, and that's one of the funniest. That's one of the funniest sketches that was on all year. But no, but I mean, I can totally understand why people like him. He's and maybe your analysis is correct. I don't know. He's just like he's not my cup of tea. Now, I know, Esmeralda, you like John Mulaney, correct?
Yeah. I've seen, I think, bits and pieces of that, the Kid Gorgeous.
Yeah, I've seen bits and pieces,
stand
too.
Up.
Yeah.
And I love that show, oh, what's it called, Big Mouth? On Netflix, the animated
oh, yeah,
about
yeah.
the kids?
Yeah, 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 with Nick Kroll, right?
Yeah, and then he also does a voice. Like,
yeah.
No, I think he's hilarious. I'm with Dan on this one.
Yeah, no, I think he's, like I said, I think he's incredibly talented. It's just, like, his persona and his delivery make me nuts. I just find him really annoying. I just want to punch him in the mouth. But I love that Nick Kroll show. The thing that Big Mouth Nick Kroll thing was so gleefully vulgar. Like, I mean, it was ridiculous, and I laughed a lot at that too. So I don't know. Yeah, but like his appearances when he was himself, like, and they would bring him out because when Seth was head writer, he would bring Mulaney out all the time on Weekend Update, and I would drive me nuts. Be like, and it wasn't like his material was bad because it's not bad, you know.
He definitely has a cadence. He definitely
yes.
has
yep.
that type of delivery, like where you can tell it is him, and you know,
yeah, which is important because
right.
you know what I mean. That's
it's distinctive.
It, exactly right. So,
you know, a John Mulaney record. You know, even if you didn't know his name, you're like, oh, it's that guy. Yeah,
it's, no question about it. And that is a really important part to being a stand-up, is having your own voice, an original voice that is that could never be mistaken for anybody but you. And so that's a good thing. I just don't. It doesn't appeal to me. But yeah, but again, I he is not without talent. There's no question
right.
that this guy is amazingly talented and was a really solid writer on SNL for a long time. And, you know, and again, I mean, he can be as annoying as he wants to be on stage, in my opinion, because he you know, he and Bill Hader created Stefan. That's a lifetime pass.
I mean, Stefan is on Seth Meyers' desk.
I know.
A little Stefan is on Seth Meyers' desk. Out of all the things from Saturday Night Live he could have brought, he brought a little Stefan.
Well, they're married.
Oh, that's right. They got married at the end. That's right.
On Seth's last
It's just
show.
A picture of his wife, husband.
Yeah, exactly. So, anyway. All right, this is what we're talking about here. We're talking about stand-up comedians. Who makes you laugh? What are some of the best stand-up comedy specials that you've ever seen? And what are your favorites at 312-981-7200? And this is in honor of the 40th anniversary of Zanies, which we just talked about with our buddy Bert Haas. So we'll take a quick break, and we'll come back for the news, and then we want to hear from you. Stand-up comedy specials, what are your favorites? 312-981-7200. Two for Tuesday, just starting. Two for Tuesday, man, yeah, two Tuesdays. It's one artist, two songs. Get your request in now, 312-981-7200, 815 area code. Requesting S-Ray, X-Ray Specs with Identity. Yeah, so 312-981-7200 is the phone number. All right, how you doing, everybody? We were just talking with Bert Haas, Executive Vice President at Zanies, regarding the 40th anniversary of the classic comedy club here in Chicago, and now we're talking about favorite stand-up specials and or movies, and what do you which ones do you like? 312-981-7200. We were just discussing the most recent John Mulaney stand-up special, and I was talking about what I think is the greatest recording of stand-up ever documented, and that's Richard Pryor Live in Concert from 1979, which is just, I think, the epitome of stand-up, and I love it. So, Esmeralda, who do you like? Who else do you like?
I don't really have any at the moment, but back when I was younger, and she's still great. I would watch Margaret Cho.
Oh, yeah.
I know on Comedy Central, they would always play all those stand-up shows and episodes.
They would do the half-hour stand-up comedy, half-hour specials, yeah.
My favorite was those Pulp Fiction.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember those Pulp Fiction, like, comedy things that they'd have them do stand-up, and then they would do all these little, like, vignettes and stuff?
Right.
But I remember Margaret Cho doing a half-hour comedy special, and anytime it was on, I could not stop laughing.
Margaret Cho is great. She's great. She's Esmeralda, big influence on Patty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy. She's such a pioneer. I mean, she had a sitcom.
Yeah.
Back in the 90s. It was like, it's just, to me, that was crazy to see some Asian American doing a sitcom on ABC.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, and it was groundbreaking, and even not just in terms of TV sitcoms, but in terms of stand up, she's a groundbreaker too. No, she's great. Margaret Cho's great. You know which of those Comedy Central half hour, you know, Comedy Central Presents ones? Did you ever get into Mitch Hedberg?
Oh God, yeah.
Oh my God.
No, Mitch Hedberg, David Tell.
Yeah, David Tell.
Yeah,
David Tell hosted that show,
Insomniac. Yeah, I love that show.
That show was great. Yeah, David Tell, but Mitch Hedberg was just, I mean, he had like a stoner persona, obviously, but his stuff was brilliant. I mean, it was just brilliant. And I love that guy. And of those half hour specials that we're talking about that Comedy Central aired, that one might have been my favorite. That the one with the Mitch Hedberg specifically one was might have been my favorite of the ones that aired. He was amazing. He was amazing. I love Dennis Leary's No Cure for Cancer. I absolutely love that. And it's a great piece of one man show. He also sings the A-hole song, which is one of my favorite songs of all time. And it was a song that I sang every week at Ginger's Ale House. Like it was like my song, to the point where I'd be at Cub games walking through the bleachers and go, "Hey, it's the A-hole," and I'd be like, "You're right on both counts." But yeah, no, and I love Dennis. I love No Cure for Cancer. I just think it's really brilliant and funny. The late great Ted Demme directed it. It was a one man show that he did in London for a while. He worked on it in London and he brought it out in Chicago, and that was right after, and Esmeralda, I'm sure you remember this, that was right after he did those countless promos for MTV.
Oh, yeah.
Where he was like the angry guy ripping on shiny, happy pen with the shiny people over here and the happy people over here. You know, that whole, the ranting little bits that he did for MTV. Because the progression was, he was on Remote Control. Then one of the first exposure that he ever has was he, like Adam Sandler, him, Colin Quinn, a lot of those guys all started out on Remote Control. And they would come out and do characters and read questions to the contestants. And that's where Dennis Leary got his first break. I mean, he did stand-up for a long time. He worked the stand-up circuit in New York and everywhere for a while. Then he got his first break on Remote Control, and then that led to the MTV contract that he had, where he would do the rants and the promos. And then that led to No Cure for Cancer, which was the one-man show he did in London. And then that was it. That was when his career took off and he started getting movies and all kinds of stuff. And now he's where he is right now. But that first Dennis Leary one-man show, that No Cure for Cancer, is really, really great. That's one of my favorites.
And by the way, props to MTV back in the day when they had all those comedy specials, too.
Yeah. They did a lot of comedy specials
so good
as well. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I wouldn't have known half the comedians.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for them.
And if you go back, I know I'm missing a couple of guys who were on Remote Control, because that was just like, if you go back and look, that's like, you know, like if there were six or seven of those guys, like at least six of them went on to huge stardom. I mean, you know, you get Colin Quinn, Dennis Leary, Adam Sandler. Was Spade on there too? I'm trying to remember if Spade was on there.
He's not listed on the.
Who did they have?
So
then you had Marisol and Kari Wuhr.
Right. The notables, they said Dennis Leary, Andrew Price, Colin Quinn, Ned Rice, Rick Rosner, Adam Sandler, McPaul Smith, and John Ten Eck.
Mm. Yeah. So there's about four guys went on to massive success coming out of that. And then your host was Ken Ober, and Ken Ober knew all these guys. Ken Ober was a really, really popular New York stand-up. Didn't really have a lot of national exposure at all. I think he did a couple of talk shows here and there. He may have done a Tonight Show here or there.
He knew the Blues Brothers. Or not the Blues Brothers. What's their face?
Who?
He's in a few of their videos. Run Around. Blues Traveler.
Oh, Blues Traveler. Oh,
Blues,
okay.
Blues Brothers.
John Popper.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I remember, you would keep seeing him in their videos.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't remember that because we usually turn off a Blues Traveler video, so that's why I don't remember it. But, yeah, no, Ober was a big dude, you know, in the world of stand-up in New York, and he's pretty much responsible for bringing those guys onto the show. Like, Colin Quinn was, like, his best friend, and then Colin Quinn, of course, was kind of he was the announcer kind of co-host. He was just the smartass who was just there. And then they started out with Marisol, and then she was gone, and then they brought in the wonderful Kari Wuhr. And that show, of course, was awesome. Remote Control was a great show. And a lot of guys came out of that. So, let's see. My two favorite comedians are Bill Burr. Bill Burr is great. Bill Burr is great. And, of course, as Bert mentioned, 10 years ago when they did their up-and-coming, you know, anniversary shows, Bill Burr was one of those guys who 10 years ago was up-and-coming. Yes. Yes. And Sebastian Maniscalco. I don't think I know who that is. Do you know who that is, Dan?
Yeah, I've seen a bit. So he's got a Showtime special running around everything. Italian American, kind of buff. I think if you saw him, maybe you'd recognize him.
I might recognize him if I saw him.
So Peter Decatur actually just texted him as well. Apparently, he was named one of the top 10 comedians in the country right now.
Wow!
They did a piece on him on CBS Sunday Morning.
Wow, I'm off on this. If I see the guy, I'll know what he looks like. I'll know what he looks like. And yes, if I see him, I'll know what he looks like. That makes sense. 219 area code says, I can watch Bob Saget's That Ain't Right, and it cracks me up every time. That's kind of a classic stand-up special right there. You know what's really funny is I love the fact that Bob Saget's popularity nationally was family related. Like, he was on Full House. He hosted America's Funniest Home Videos. Families and kids and children loved him. Dan, have you ever seen his act?
I have not seen it. I have heard about it, though.
Esmeralda, you know how filthy SAG is, right?
Yeah. I've seen it, but it's almost to the point where, like, not, he was just, at least how I took it, he was just swearing to swear.
Well, to be, you
and
know.
Be and, really filthy. And well, I was kind of like, eh.
Well, I think he totally did that because when he gained the popularity as, like, Family Guy, you know, as Mr. Family TV, he definitely pushed it. You know what I mean? Like, he definitely did it on purpose to show people that he wasn't just family. Like, his appearances on Entourage were ridiculous. Like, it's like he played himself on Entourage, and they bumped up the profanity and vulgarity to ridiculous levels. But to be fair, before he got those gigs with Full House and America's Funniest Home Videos, he was filthy. Before he got the gigs, he was filthy. 301 area code says, anything Jim Gaffigan, he's very funny. The thing about Jim Gaffigan, clean. That guy does not work blue, which is an easy thing to do, to work blue. And some, you know, I enjoy people who work blue, but he's good and not blue.
I didn't even realize that he never did any filthy material.
No, not at all. His stuff is mostly family oriented, being a father, stuff like that. And he's really funny. Just a really funny guy. WGN's own Panty? That's really nice. Panty Vasquez, everybody. That's her new name.
She's Broccoli Rob.
Freudian.
Freudian slip. It's 301 area code. Says Jim Gaffigan, WGN's own Patty Vasquez, not Panty, and Steve Martin. Steve Martin didn't do, you know, I don't, did Steve Martin do any video specials like HBO or any of that stuff? Because I mean, in the 70s he toured arenas. I saw him at the amphitheater twice, because nobody was bigger in the late 70s in terms of popularity, because at the late 70s also there was Pryor and Carlin, and they were the two best on the planet. But Steve Martin tapped into an audience that was massive. Now, he released records. I mean, I had his rare. He had Wild and Crazy Guy. He had Let's Get Small. And there was another one, too. Comedy Ain't Pretty. And those were actual albums. So, I mean, you know, they did have recordings of his stand-up, but I don't know if there were ever videos.
I think there was an NBC special. I'm finding something. I can't get the exact details, but there was apparently an NBC special at one point.
Okay. Because, I mean, he was in that era before. You know, I mean, HBO was in its infancy when his popularity really started. And Robert Klein was the guy. Robert Klein was the guy who really, the very first HBO comedy special was Robert Klein. Robert Klein, brilliant. Oh, brilliant. But yeah, but Steve Martin, I mean, you know, it was a time when he was a rock. He was literally a rock star. Like, he was a comedy rock star. So, all right. And I still, you know, I don't care. I still back the first Andrew Dice Clay special. The first HBO, the Dice Man Cometh. It's funny. I know it's not popular to say that, but that special, the first Dice Man special, the Dice Man Cometh, is funny. And I make no apologies for it. I mean, I just thought the thing is, like what happened to him and his fall from grace was so, like, his rise to stardom and fall from grace was so quick and so intense. And like the love for the guy was huge. And then the hate for him was even bigger. And it all happened really, really fast. So, but I still think that the first, the Dice Man Cometh special is great. Rodney Dangerfield, discovered him. And he discovered Sam Kinison. He discovered a lot of these guys who would go on. Boy, Sam Kinison, he had a couple of specials that were just incredible. I saw him, Dan, I saw him at the Park West.
Wow.
Like, at the height of his, like right on the cusp of when he was, like, wild, recording Wild Thing and hanging out with rock stars and having sex with Jessica Hahn and all that crazy. Do you know any of this stuff that I'm telling you about?
Well, I mean, I know, oh, okay. Like, of it. I don't know it.
Because it was the late 80s, and that's why it was. But so, Hey, Listen and I went to go see him. So Joe and I go, we go to the Park West, and he was, as you would imagine, insane, completely insane. And this is what Joe said. This is what Joe said to me about three quarters of the way through the set, after like just him, just Kinison just tearing up the stage. Joe leans over to me. He goes, I give this guy about 5 years to live. And I think it was 10 years later when he died, but he did die young. But the ironic thing was, you know, he went through that whole period where he was on drugs and he was on alcohol. He was clean when he died in the car accident. He was not under the influence. That's the irony. It's like everybody thought this guy's going to OD. You know, he's going to drink himself to death or do drugs and die, because he was a mess. I mean,
right. I mean, you could see it in those specials.
Oh, yeah. And like, and Joe was like, this guy, he's going to die. I've given this guy 5 years. And, but none of us thought that it would be somebody else's fault in a car accident, you know? So, anyway, yeah, but now, but he had a couple of really great specials too. So, we're talking about stand-up comedy and some of the great specials that you love. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We'll take a break, and then, we'll get back to you if you want to jump in with your favorite stand-up specials and comedians, in honor of Zany's 40th anniversary. So there you go. 312-981-7200. Two for Tuesday. Yeah, man, two for Tuesday. That continues. 815 area code with X-ray specs. That's the day the world turned day glow. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you would like to join us. We are talking about your favorite stand-up comedians, comedy specials, and all of that stuff. 312-981-7200, and for two for Tuesday requests as well. So join us. We're talking comedy and all that cool stuff. So let's see. Some of the other ones that that have popped up here. Let's see. Rick Dukeman, Peace of Mind. Rick Dukeman. Rick Dukeman was a really funny guy. Dan, you familiar with Rick Dukeman?
Just from like bits and pieces, other roles, small roles he's played. Never saw a stand up.
He was a great stand up comedian. Passed away. Man, when did he? Can you look up when he passed away? I want to say it was maybe about 10 years ago, but he was too young. He was in Die Hard. He was in Groundhog Day. He was in Gremlins 2. And The Burbs. He was Tom Hanks' best friend in The Burbs.
2015.
Died in 2015. So more recent than I thought. He did an HBO special back in 1989. Like, that was the same year The Burbs came out, the same year, like, right when Gremlins 2, because he was making a lot of movies at that time. And it was called Peace of Mind. It was on HBO. And it was really, really funny. And it was directed, you know who directed the special?
No.
Charlie Kaufman.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So, and this was before Charlie Kaufman became Charlie Kaufman. We're talking 1989, you know. Charlie Kaufman didn't become Charlie Kaufman until Being John Malkovich, actually. But I was always a big fan of Rick Dukeman. I thought he was just fantastic. And let's see, there's more here on the list that we've got. And I've never been a big fan of Kevin Hart. And you know, as a stand-up, I mean, I know the guy sells out stadiums. God bless him, you know. But he's another one of these guys that it just doesn't. I mean, I acknowledge his popularity. I don't get it. There's a lot of like screaming and you know, not that I don't like. Look, I'm just talked about how much I love Sam Kinison. All that guy did was scream, but. There's just something about, okay, Kevin Hart doesn't do it for me. But, man, he's popular. People love him, man. You know, he's in a movie every other week.
Yeah, and he's one of the few guys who has stand-up movies, like, still puts him out and released in theaters.
He released two stand-up concert movies that both made a good amount of money. He's on that stupid-ass show that's on CBS now that they advertise the hell out of during Big Brother. So I watched the premiere episode of it, and then I turned it off. It's called TKO, Total Knockout.
And yeah.
It's like one of those
American Gladiators.
Exactly. It's like Wipeout or one of those, you know, those stupid shows where people get to shoot giant balls at people while they're trying to cross a bridge over water. And he's the host running around going, yeah, you shot him in the head! You shot him in the head!
Where was he that he got he got denied.
Oh,
Super Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's like, Kevin Hart.
Well, yeah. Well, he was loaded.
Right.
And he was trying to climb. He was trying to get in. What was he trying
onto
to
do? Onto the stage that right. they were presenting the trophy on.
Yeah, yeah.
See, but if he was somebody a little more famous, I feel like they'd be like, "Yeah, come up on stage."
Yeah. Well, I think one of the other things was, I'm pretty sure they knew what kind of condition he was
yeah.
in. I think that more than anything else, it wasn't so much his celebrity or level of celebrity; it was his level of sobriety. I think was the. Was because he was. Did you see the footage of him?
Oh yeah.
And the post show when he mm-hmm. got up and was with the guys on stage and dropped like two F bombs and then went, "I gotta get out of here," and then he left. He was smashed, man. But no, I mean he sells a lot of videos and he sells a lot of tickets. He's got a movie coming out. Another movie coming. He was just in Jumanji, which made a ton of money.
Yeah.
He's going to be in Night School with Tiffany Haddish. There's another stand-up comedian who's had quite a year.
So. Yeah.
Quite a year, Tiffany Haddish. She's got two more movies, three more movies coming out. She's in, she was in Uncle Drew. She's in Night School, where Kevin Hart has to go back and get his GED.
Have you seen that show that she did with another stand-up, Tracy Morgan?
Oh, yeah. Oh, original OG. Or OG, yeah. The first OG, something. Yeah, I've seen it. It's not. I didn't think it was very good.
No.
And I like both of those people a lot. But all right, we got a break here. We got the news coming up. Everybody, hang on, and we will talk more about your best stand up comedy specials and your best stand up comedians, your favorites at 312-981-7200. We got a break for the news here. Two for Tuesday, everybody. Yeah. Two for Tuesday. And it's one artist, two songs. 708 area code. Requesting Lindsey Buckingham with Dancing Across the USA. And this person from the 708 area code is about to drive across country for vacation. He's visiting a family in Arizona. So I'm guessing Holiday Road is going to be the next... the two songs from National Lampoon's Vacation. This one's from the end credits of the movie. And then Holiday Road is played throughout the movie and at the beginning credits at Lindsey Buckingham. A favorite guest on What's Up With That. So, you know, they never got to him, though. They would always have to bump him.
Now I'm going to be singing that all day long.
What's up? What's up with that? Ooh-wee. What's up with that? What's up with that? Still think it's one of the funniest things that's ever been on Saturday Night Live. I remember the first time it was that they did the bit. Heather and I were watching it, and every single time that the hi-hat was being hit, tss, 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 and Keenan would do the bug-eyed thing and then start setting up the next verse of the song while, you know, not letting his guests talk, laughed every time. Like, out loud, laughed out loud. And when it was over, I was like, that was really one of the stupidest things I've ever seen in my life, and I don't know if I've laughed harder at anything all season. And every time they did it, it was funny. Every single time. And I'll tell you what, as you know, Dan, Jason Sudeikis, red tracksuit, gold chain, curly hair, doing the Running Man. Genius! You know, he would get applause when he would make entrances. He would get applause. Like, he would jump into frame and people would, yeah, it's the guy with the red tracksuit and the curly hair. All right, we are talking about stand-up specials. What are your favorites? Which ones do you like the most? 312-981-7200 and your favorite stand-up comedians. I wanted to mention, we were talking Dan Kevin Hart making concert films that are being released in theaters. Dice released a couple of those. After Richard Pryor released three, all three were genius. I want to mention Kings of Comedy. Spike Lee directed it. And it came out in 2000, and these guys were kind of well-known. And they were known in the African-American community really, really well, you know, judging by the size of this tour. It was a huge tour. They were playing big, big venues and selling them out. It was Steve Harvey, Cedric the Entertainer, Bernie Mac, D.L. Hughley. They were the original Kings of Comedy. Steve Harvey was the MC. He did, you know, he did a set himself, but he was the MC in between guys. And I remember after seeing it, I thought it was really funny. Like, first of all four of the guys killed. They were all great. Bernie Mac was just Bernie Mac. He was the man. And everybody had a different vibe to him. You know, Cedric the Entertainer, he had sort of like this smooth, and they all were dressed impeccably. I mean, the suits, you know what I'm talking about? I mean, those suits. You like my suit, player? It's got 600 buttons. That's Kenan Thompson again, doing Steve Harvey. But I remember when I saw it, being really mostly impressed by Steve Harvey. I thought Steve Harvey was brilliant. I mean, he was the MC, so he had to keep things moving along. He interacted with the audience a lot, and he did some bits in the original Kings of Comedy that were so funny. He did a bit about old school R&B, which is, I wish we could play it on the air, but we can't because he swears. And then how he said there were five Temptations, but there was one Mike. And each guy, and he's doing like the little dance moves. One mic. Walk up to the mic, say something, walk back, do your little dance. He goes, now everybody on the stage got a mic. And he said, rappers make me sick. There's 40 people on the stage. They all got mics. We can't even understand what one of your ass has to say. He does this whole bit about it. And then he does, he's like going to a rap concert, there's too many instructions. Like, you got to scream, you got to wave your hands in the air and wave them like you just don't care, and all that stuff. And I mean, it was really one of the funniest bits in the movie. So anyway, original Kings of Comedy, really, really funny. Did you ever see it, Dan?
I did see it. It was very funny.
It's really, really, and a great document, too, because that was a cultural thing, man, that was happening. And that's why Spike Lee wanted to film it. Spike Lee, he wanted to make sure that it was documented as a cultural event, because a lot of people in America didn't know what was happening. So that's why he did it. And he just was like, it was his idea, because they were in the middle of the tour, and he's like, we need to film this. So Steve Harvey also has a great moment in that, where these four guys get up, they're in the front row, and they get up and they leave. And he's like, hey, player, where are you going, player? And then they leave, but somebody, one of the guys left their jacket behind. And so Steve Harvey makes one of the audience members give him the jacket, so he takes the dude's jacket and brings it back. And then when they come back, because they go to intermission, they cut to an intermission, we're going to take an intermission now when we come back. They come back, and he's like, hey, player, I got your coat. How badly you want your coat? And his name was Boogie, the guy's name. He's like, oh, it's your coat? Your name's Boogie? All right, Boogie, how bad you want your coat? And the guy's like, ah. And he does the, I don't care very much. He's like, you see, what do you do for a living? And he's like, and he says, computer technology. He goes, wait, I ask you what you do for a living, and the first thing that pops into your head is computer technology. Computer school. No, nothing about you says, because he's dressed, he's got a crazy sweater on, a hat, sunglasses on. He looks like a gangbanger. And that's what Steve Harvey starts to talk about. He goes, you can't even spell technology. Boogie. Funny stuff. And now, this was, Steve Harvey had hair. Remember when Steve Harvey had hair? And it was beautifully sculpted?
Oh, very much so.
Oh. And he had the big suits. Well, he still's got the big suits. But now, this was a long time ago. This was before he shaved his head and hosted 73 different shows, including a morning drive radio show. He hosts, how many shows does he host? He's got that show where the kids come out and act like goofs, and then he's like, you're a kid, shut up. Little Idiots. Is it called Little, I think it's, no, it's not called Little Idiots. Little Idiots? Big Little Idiots or Big Little?
Let's see here.
It's not Big Little Liars. That's a completely different thing. But he hosts that. He hosts Family Feud. He hosts Steve, which is his daytime talk show.
Little Big Shots.
That's it. Little Big Shots. Little Idiots is like what I like to call it.
Yep.
And a radio show. This guy needs to work more. Steve Harvey needs to work more. By the way, I love you.
Thunderdome. Steve Harvey's Thunderdome.
Oh, Thunderdome. Another show.
That's where people like pitch their products a la Shark Tank.
That's right. He's got 7,000 shows, man.
Are they supposed to be fun?
Thunderdome.
Fun.
Yes, yes, it's a play on Thunderdome.
So things must be fun.
Yeah, you're trying to sell fun things to Steve Harvey in his suit.
In episode one, they featured the air hook, a stable, secure mount for smartphones and tablets that attaches to tray tables on airplanes.
That sounds fun.
The V Smart Bar, a holistic soap that keeps women's private parts fresh and clean.
That sounds fun. And
wait, where is this?
This is the first episode.
But is this isn't for kids?
No. That's little big shots.
Oh, little okay. Big Shots is for kids.
I was like, what kids are inventing these things?
That's where kids come out in little big horn. Little Big Shots is when the kids come out and say stuff sassy and show off their talent. Steve Harvey looks at him for 30 seconds with his eyes wide open. That's like his move. Like, huh?
I really hope Steve Harvey dresses up a la Tina Turner for this Thunderdome show.
if only he had the 70-pound head dressing. Welcome to Thunderdome.
847 also lets us know he hosts Showtime at the Apollo.
That's still
they're bringing it back.
Oh, okay.
They previewed it on New Year's Eve.
Oh, I love Showtime at the Apollo. When the clown would come out and sweep him off stage.
That's why I knew I was up too late.
Right. That was the best. All right. More stand-up since we've completely covered Steve Harvey's career. Hey, you like my suit, player?
773 has an update on Boogie. We'll get to it after the break.
Oh, no! There's an update on Boogie? Computer technology. Boogie, now you know. Nothing about you says computer or school. I got that at home on DVD. I haven't watched it in a long time. Now I think I might have to watch that. I haven't watched The Kings of Comedy in a long time. That's funny stuff, man. Okay, we're talking about great stand-up comedians. I don't know which George Carlin special to pick. Because they're all awesome. So I'm just going to say this. All of George Carlin's specials. All of them. Every single one of them. I don't know how many he did. But it's in the double digits. There's no question about it. George Carlin has done double digits worth of HBO comedy specials, and every single one of them is brilliant. So, got to get George Carlin in there. But, you know, here's one that I want to mention as being one of the best ever. You guys, I'm assuming that you saw Chris Rock's Bring the Pain.
Yeah, that was the most popular album in college. Like, everybody had it playing.
One of the greatest stand-up specials of all time. Of all time. Esmeralda, you've seen Bring the Pain, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's legendary. Legendary. Because at that time, you know, Chris Rock was a struggling stand-up. He had a pretty rocky tenure on SNL. Like, he did a few funny things, but for the most part, he just kind of came in, said three or four lines. Nat X was funny. Nat X, the black side with Nat X, or the dark side with Nat X, that's funny. But he really was kind, and he didn't do much. And his stand-up was good, but not great. You know, he did CB4, the movie about the rap movie. Which was not very good. He was doing movies here, and he was in New Jack. He was in New Jack City. He was in I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker.
Yes.
How much for the ribs? Can you break 100? Get out of here. I sure am hungry.
Was he in Boomerang?
Yes, he was. Man, first the fat boys break up, now this. But see, that's the kind of stuff he was doing, these little things that were kind of funny, and then he was kind of wasted on SNL. And when Bring the Pain debuted, man, it was a game changer. It was I remember watching it two times in a row when it came on. I watched it twice in a row, back to back. I was like, this is one of the greatest and most potent stand-up specials I've ever seen in my life. And it still holds up today. And his follow-up, Bigger and Blacker, also great. Yeah, that's when he found his voice, when he really, really, truly found his voice and became, like, really one of the most important comedians and comedy voices. You know, he went from being, you know, a guy who did small parts in movies and did, okay on SNL, to being really one of the most important voices in comedy. And that was because of Bring the Pain. All right, we got a break here. So we'll break. We'll come back and wrap up the conversation about stand-up comedians and great stand-up specials and all that stuff. 312-981-7200. We want to hear from you. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Yeah. That's part two of Two for Tuesday. And the 708 area code's heading out on the road. Road trip, Holiday Road by Lindsey Buckingham. You can get your requests in now at 312-981-7200. Bunch of texts have come in. We're talking about stand-up specials and stand-up comedians. I want to mention two more really quick before I start reading these texts. Patton Oswalt. Patton Oswalt is a genius. Patton Oswalt is one of the most brilliant and funny people that has ever lived. And he has a lot of really great stand-up specials. Talking for Clapping is a good one. But his last Netflix special called Annihilation that he did following his wife's untimely death and first time talking about it on stage is spectacular. It's funny. It's sad. It's really moving. And it's great. And, he really gets very, very personal. So that's Annihilation, Patton Oswalt. It's fantastic. Speaking of Netflix, the most important stand-up special of the year, or maybe in years, is Hannah Gadsby's Nanette, which I talked about on the air before, which is an astonishing, shattering piece of work. It's funny, but it's also important and needs to be heard. So that's Hannah Gadsby with Nanette, which, Esmeralda, have you watched that yet?
I have not, no.
It's really, it's an important thing to watch, I think. Just really, I mean, I watched it twice and I bawled my eyes out at the end. And it's really, it starts out really, really funny and then it gets personal and intense and important. And the stuff that she says in it and from her point of view is incredibly insightful and important. And yeah, so it's amazing. On a lighter note, Maria Bamford. I mean, you cannot go wrong with Maria Bamford. I saw her at the Athenaeum Theater a couple of years back, and she killed. She's so funny live, and she's got a couple of really weird and interesting specials in addition to her non-stand-up show, Lady Dynamite, which is certifiably insane. That show, like her, is certifiably insane. 708 area code says Lewis Black, red, white, and screwed. He's funny. 630 area code, Robin Williams on Broadway is a classic. 224 area code says Rodney Dangerfield's Young Comedians, 1987. All of the Rodney Dangerfield Young Comedian specials are terrific. Because Rodney was one of those guys who was very, very, very supportive of younger comedians and would give them showcases and put them in his comedy club. 773 area code, Eddie Murphy Raw. I hate Eddie Murphy Raw. Delirious is fine. I hate Raw. Raw is like one of the most incredibly misogynistic pieces of crap I've ever seen in my life. Like, it's so nasty. Just so nasty. So, I mean, he does a great imitation of Richard Pryor and a great imitation of Bill Cosby. But just, like, his attitude and the stories about women in that, and then he followed up Raw with Harlem Nights, which features Red Fox and Richard Pryor, and that, he wrote and directed that movie, he was in it. That was just the epitome of misogyny that I've ever seen. There was a period of time when Eddie Murphy was just so, like, nasty to watch and so anti-woman that I hated him. Like, I hated everything he did. 630 area code, the Dave Chappelle Live from Fillmore, his Netflix specials are hilarious. Dave Chappelle's great. Nick, Steve Martin was in The World of Whoopi because ABC was airing the miniseries The World at War. I remember The World of Whoopi. Robert says, a lot has changed, but I saw Bill Cosby back in 70 and it was hilarious. Listen, you know, we all liked Bill Cosby at one time. His stand-up movie, Bill Cosby Himself, is hilarious. But I won't watch it anymore. 301 says, anything with Don Rickles, he was a genius. Duke from Elgin said, Craig Ferguson. Yeah, he's got like four or five great specials. We all know how I feel about Craig. Red Fox and Brad Williams. 815, Harry Anderson. I loved him on Night Court, and his stand-up specials were simple and clean, and he was funny. Harry Anderson was very funny. Oh, man, Richard Jenny. Oh, yeah, I love Richard Jenny. He had like four or five really great specials. Richard Jenny is funny, man. Where did Richard Jenny go? Did he die? Because I think he did. He did. He was sick for a while. That's right. I think he died. 630 area code says, I so agree that Richard Pryor was a genius on the screen. He's embedded in my mind in that red suit. Seems like yesterday I marveled at his content and delivery. Yeah, that the red suit was in Richard Pryor Live on the Sunset Strip. That's an interesting one to watch. Richard Pryor Live on the Sunset Strip is an interesting one to watch. It's brilliant. There's a lot of really funny stuff in it. He changed a lot. Like, he used to, you know, Dan, I don't know if you know this or not, but, like, he, you know, stopped saying the N-word.
Really? I did not know that.
Yeah. He went through a massive change right before Sunset, Live on the Sunset Strip. It's interesting because it was a two-night stay at the Sunset, at that theater. He came out the first night, and they were filming it. It was going to be a big movie, his big comeback movie, because he had just had the burn accident. You know, he just set himself on fire. And he had a life-changing trip to Africa. And it was his first time in front of an audience in a really long time since all these things happened. The first night he came out, froze. Like, completely froze. And it was terrible. It was awful. Like, there was no footage. That they could barely use any footage. And he was devastated. And then he prepped, and he's like, no, I'm going to be good. Second night, they get the cameras all, and the result is that. The result is Live on the Sunset Strip.
Wow.
And it's astonishing. But the thing is, he changed because of, like, the accident, quote-unquote accident. But he went on this trip to Africa, and he'd never been to the motherland before. He'd never been to Africa. And he talks a lot. There's a huge chunk of the movie about his trip to Africa. And he said that he would never use the N-word again. And the N-word was a big part of his act. Like, a big part. I mean, he would drop it 50, 60 times during the course of a set. He never said it again. After that trip, he never said it again. And the other thing about that special is that it ends spectacularly. You remember the final joke?
I don't.
He goes, I want to thank all of you for caring about me while I was in the hospital and after the accident. I know I felt the love. I got the letters. I really, really, he goes, but some of you were really nasty. And he takes a match and he lights it up. And then he moves the match up and down across the screen. He goes, what's this? It's Richard Pryor running down the street. You think I didn't hear those jokes? Okay. All right. We got to take a break for news, and then we'll wrap up the comedy talk here, and then we'll jump into some ridiculous and fun stuff that you used to get in your cereal boxes. That's all coming up right after the news. Welcome back, everybody. Yeah. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studios here, 18 floors above downtown Chicago. Dan in Michigan requesting Train, Won't You Save Me, San Francisco, 2 for Tuesday. Yeah, man! 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. All right. We got some more text here. We want to wrap up the talk about stand-up comedy and stand-up comedy specials. But I feel remiss if I don't mention Bill Hicks. Bill Hicks was one of the best stand-up comedians. Again, another one that was taken from us too soon, who had a few great specials, the best of which was one that he recorded in the UK called Revelations. That's my favorite. I think of all of the specials that he did, that's my favorite. So I did want to mention that one. Let's see. Chris in Elk Grove says, Josh Blue, he's awesome, and he won NBC's comedy show years ago. Last Comic Standing? He won Last Comic Standing? Oh. Kyle Gahaney's Loose in Chicago special on Comedy Central is hilarious. Local guy from Addison. He's great. He's great. He was also really... He used to kill on At Midnight. And that was a really great showcase for stand-up comedians, too, At Midnight. We can't talk about the host, though. Like, people that I like. Why does this happen? I don't understand. I haven't mentioned Louis C.K.'s specials. He's great, but no. And now I can't talk about Hardwick? You guys are morons. I swear to God, what is wrong with you? And I'm not talking to people who... I'm talking to Hardwick and I'm talking to CK and those and you idiots. 773 area code. Steve Harvey reunited the surviving members of Kings of Comedy on his talk show. A person in the audience got up and asked a question. It turns out it was Boogie. It was Boogie! He still had the jacket. He still had the jacket. He was in school or he was a teacher. No, nothing about you says computer or school. So Boogie still had the jacket. Kathy T. says, I know Sebastian Maniscalco's family. He's very funny. He's from Arlington Heights. Another local guy. 224 said, Rodney Dangerfield was the best. I saw him in MGM in Vegas. Here's the thing about Rodney. Never had a bad set or a couch on The Tonight Show. Never. He never didn't kill. He never did not absolutely kill. And the thing about Rodney, when Rodney was on The Tonight Show with Johnny, he'd do a set, destroy. Like, and his the way that he crafted and delivered jokes was amazing. The guy, Rodney Dangerfield was a master. And just would, and the way he held that audience and worked that audience and told those jokes and punched them where they needed to be punched was so amazing to watch. He was really, truly an absolute master. One of the best joke tellers that ever lived. But when he finished his set, he would go and sit down on the couch and it wouldn't really be an interview. He would do 10 more minutes. Like, Johnny would just go, yeah, really? Oh, Rodney, well, what do you think of that? And what do you think of this? So he would just, like, set it up, and Rodney would tee it off. So basically, you got a stand-up set whenever he did The Tonight Show, and then a sit-down set. Because it wasn't an interview. There was no interview. He wasn't plugging anything, really. There was never really an interview. It was just more material for Rodney to riff on and kill. You go back and watch every single appearance that Rodney Dangerfield made on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, and they were all incredible. Jimbo said, whatever happened to Rich Little? I would imagine age. That would be my guess. 847, Jeff Dunham. Now, which is he? Does he have the grumpy old dude puppet?
Yeah, I believe he is the puppet man.
He's got the grumpy old dude puppet. Doesn't he have like a skeleton puppet? You know, it was funny. Gary Lee Wright and I interviewed him, which is really amazing when you interview a ventriloquist on the radio. That always works out really, really well. You could always tell when his lips are moving because you're interviewing a ventriloquist on the radio. But I will say this. I've never been a fan, but he was funny when we interviewed him. He was actually funny.
I knew Steve and Johnny really liked his act.
Yeah. So... 815 area code. I loved Sinbad. Me too, man. I get made fun of because I like Sinbad. I like Sinbad. I like his clothes. I like Sinbad. His hair. I liked House Guest with him and Phil Hartman. I don't care. I didn't like Jingle All the Way, though.
And we all love Necessary Roughness.
Of course, Necessary Roughness rules. But I get a lot of crap from my friends for liking Sinbad. I don't know why. Well, he's another guy who's clean. Totally clean. I always thought he was. Which was he on Different World? The spinoff of The Cosby Show? I think he was, right? I enjoy Sinbad. I don't care. John Panette was one of the funniest comedians I've ever seen. Another guy who died.
He was on A Different World.
Yeah.
As well as The Sinbad Show.
Sinbad rules. Doug in Kansas City, Larry Miller, The Five Levels of Drink. That is one of the greatest. Dan, are you familiar with The Five Levels of Drinking, Larry Miller?
I'm not. I'm a fan because he was in Necessary Roughness, but I don't know anything. I don't know his stand-up material.
I saw him live at the Improv here in Chicago. And I went with this was a, when I dated Kathy O'Malley's daughter for a while, and this was I went with Kathy and a couple of other her friends and Colleen, which is Kathy's daughter's Colleen, and we went to see him at the Improv, and he killed. He was unbelievable. But this fight, you know, here's the deal. I can't do the whole routine for you, but if you just Google Larry Miller, five stages of drinking. It's the five stages of drinking. It is one of the, seriously, one of the best and funniest stand-up bits of all time. Like a legendary stand-up bit. And, yeah, he's a funny guy. And, yeah, he's been in a ton of stuff, too. He was in the Nutty Professor. He's in the two Nutty Professor movies with Eddie Murphy. He's in Pretty Woman. He's in a new movie. Oh, man, I just saw the trailer for it, and he's all bald in it. He's the doorman in the doorman episode of Seinfeld. The creepy doorman? You guys don't know what I'm talking about, but people who watch Seinfeld do. He was the creepy doorman in the episode called The Doorman, oddly enough. So, Larry Miller. Funny, funny dude. So there you go. Those are some stand-up people that are funny, and we enjoy them. And you should watch some of their stand-up. All right.